Want to thank all of you again for joining us for the third installment of the Powell County Fiscal Court meeting. Today we're going to talk a little bit about ordinances and how the these things, and they're not always interesting. They're not something that a lot of us think a lot about, but these are the kinds of things that really impact the lives of Powell Countyans, and specifically one that came up recently impacts the lives of a region of Powell Countyans in a significant way. So, Judge, why don't you walk us through exactly what's going on with some of the ordinances that are impacting Powell County right now?
Yeah, the reason, Corey, for this discussion was, I think if anybody's been keeping up over the last few months, one of the bigger issues, I guess, outside the incorporated areas is the proposed expansion of sewer into other areas of the county. And while I'm very supportive of and think it's important to our economic growth to continue to try to expand those sewer systems, myself, along with many of the residents, have some pretty good, you know, legitimate concerns about what this means to them, what it cost them, and that kind of thing. And initially, when this project, and I can see the validity in that we have an industry that needs this sewer capacity, but it's been since it was initially proposed, it's looking like that there's going to be an effort on that entity to try to make it mandatory for the residents is to hook up, which equates to them being out of pocket pretty substantial amounts of money initially to get hooked on, and as well as then be at the mercy of that entity and whatever those bills are in the future, and you know, and as well as any raises associated with them. So I guess there's been a question as to if that entity can force them to, and if not. So that's kind of the discussion. And of course, naturally, this brings me back again, and since I've been in office, always favored a charter government where, you know, this is a prime example. In this instance, you have a population that is served in this right at the current time with water, if this goes through with sewer as well. But where it's really an issue is you have a population that's represented by an entity providing a service that they, in essence, have no representation in that. You know, they don't elect these people, so they really have no voice, so they are totally at the mercy, and they feel very much that way. And I've had many of them come visit myself in that regard, that, you know, they feel like that's kind of hanging them out to dry. And I would agree, under the current structure, that we have a lot of our citizens, and it's kind of a issue of taxation without representation. You know, if you're afforded a service by an entity, and like I said, you don't have anybody you can vote for or choose or not to choose to represent you, then that is unfair. So that's why I think a charter form where you had one government, that way everybody has the ability to affect who or who isn't representing them, you know, if they're pleased or displeased. So I just thought that was this was a prime example of where that would have mitigated a lot of this. But
well, and going back to that just real quick, one thing the charter government philosophy does alleviate is you have, the revenue generated by the bills that these individuals are paying in a lot of cases isn't going to benefit them in any real capacity. You know, this revenue goes back into city funds, and that's not something they don't live in the city.
Yeah, and that kind of another point that makes is you get to look, and you know, and this is one of the prime examples I've used when I made this argument for charter government. You know, I think as we've talked about in most all instances, beyond doing things more efficiently, I think we got to get to a point, and part of getting to that efficiency is trying to get to where you get to economies of scales and things. You know, in a county such as Powell County, we have three separate water districts. All three of those districts are buying water off one entity. The ones that have sewer are then all selling it to another entity. So you've got a lot of middlemen. You know, I'm just saying, in a charter government, what if all of these entities were merged together? Mm-hmm. The efficiencies that could be reached, and hopefully that means a cost savings to the citizens as well as more efficiency when you see a project such as the need for these sewer expansions. If it can be hopefully that, like I said, you're spreading that any cost incurred over a bigger population and able to grow quicker, you can actually exponentially grow that population that's served by that quicker. So, you know, in essence, I would see a situation where you could probably have something more in line with countywide sewer at a more reasonable rate for everybody. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and also in that scenario, then like one of the bigger points is those people have a voice in who's serving them. So This is really brings kind of that argument full circle. It's a prime example of where I think the county would benefit and the citizens would benefit from that. And in turn, if you get to that growing those systems, that goes back, equates into helping with the economic development of the community and everything. So it's a win-win for everybody, from what I can view. But yeah, really that's what this was on. And I guess the reason the ordinance portion was mentioned was it's my understanding, and I've called and checked with several people that's involved, as well as talked to some legal counsel, that it probably would, in most instances, require the county to pass an ordinance allowing an entity beyond itself to be able to go outside its jurisdiction and require that. In researching it, we naturally, I guess, one of the last ones done in the county was the one done in Slade. And so researched that, got a hold of that ordinance. It is very specific to that project, to that water district. So it does not suffice to give any of the other two entities the ability to do that. And still, there's trying to make sure that nothing previously to my administration had passed an ordinance that would give any of those entities the ability to do so. So kind of where we're at. And like I said, nationally, it's our job to represent our citizens, and we're seeing quite a bit of concern and outcry over this. And, you know, there again, the mayor was there once again, as he has for the last several meetings. But I think, you know, naturally it's a concern, how big of a concern could definitely be, I think, better addressed if everybody had the information. And that, I think a lot of the concern is the lack of communication or the lack of information both they and myself and the court has. You know, really beyond the letter and the petition that the gentleman brought last meeting and the vague knowledge that this project's going on, we don't have as much information as we need to be able to fairly address this problem. You know, last night we finally, from the mayor, he kind of off his top of his head gave us some projections on the cost, and it appears it's a $2.5 million project over a 20-year period. He's stating that it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% grant funded, but you know, that's what I said. There's a lot of things we need to know. One of the legitimate questions raised by our citizens that were here last night was, you know, just say that this thing goes forward. I think each of those, it's a fair question. What is it going to cost me to hook to my house? And it's going to be case by case. I mean, naturally, if you're closer and depending on what the geography, it could be $1,000. You know, if you're in a more, I guess, remote or your geography is a little different there, it could be thousands of dollars. And that's a legit question. You know, before we can fully support this, I think it's only fair that our citizens have some idea what kind of costs they're going to incur beyond, naturally, they're going to add the sewer element to their bill. But, I mean, there's a cost associated with getting tapped on as well. So,
well, and I think it's important to note, for people who aren't familiar, that this is a rural part of Powell County. This isn't just taking in what would be just a city street kind of situation. We're talking about, what are the roads we're talking about?
Yeah, the communities, and I would assume it's anything in between there, is our Smallwood Hollow, Boone Creek, as well as George Drake Road. And so there's, like I said, I totally support expanding our sewer, but we've got to make sure we protect our citizens, and if we're able to do it, it's done in a way that's affordable to them, and that so there's a whole lot that I think still needs to, information that needs to be distributed. And I think if a lot of that, it could either solidify their concerns or you know, dispel them. And I think that's kind of what I suggested. I think at some point, you know, representatives from all those areas affected, if they could get a list of any concerns they're hearing, their thoughts are on this project, and somehow get a better line of communication or those questions answered for them, to know exactly where we're at, you know, at that point, what proportion of those populations are supportive of the project or not. So we get a better idea exactly where we're at and what we need to do to try to hopefully be able to allow these projects to go forward. But like I said, in a way that we're comfortable that our citizens are well served.
And Judge, beyond that, I know there was some closed session conversation, and then there was a vote taken after the closed session. What are you able to share with us about that?
Yeah, and I guess I'd first like to address, you know, closed sessions a week, sometimes I get a question, it seems like it, and it kind of seems like it runs in spells. We do have several closed sessions. it would be my preference that anything we do could be done in public. Unfortunately, per legal counsel, there's a good many items. And like I said, anybody that wants to kind of see what enables us or for what reasons we go into closed session, and I always state, if they want to look at KRS 61810, or I've always keep one available at the office, it spells out what quantifies us being able to go into closed session, you know, what reasons. And before we go in, I think I always give the statute that enables us to do it, as well as the subsection for the reason we're going in there. So, unfortunately, with the nature of things now, and if it involves certain things, that's the way it has to be addressed. Naturally, no official action can be taken in there. But so that's the reason. And yes, in this particular instance, and really pertaining to, like I said, I can't discuss anything that was talked about in closed session, but we went in per KRS 61810 and subsection C. And so as a result of the conversations in that closed session, we did come back out, and I made the motion to go ahead and proceed with the necessary legal actions in regards to the sheriff's office and what the this past audit they had done spells out. And wanted to give a little clarification. I guess two things I want to clear up in that. And I guess before we get into that, that vote was passed unanimously. All the court voted to do so. And in being fair with that, there's two things I kind of want to clear up. You know, when this audit initially come out, there was a lot of talk that this was a result of something I did or had done. That's incorrect. Each of our office, my office, PBA, all of us are subject to an annual audit per the state, and in this case, the state auditors. So we have no ever offices subjected to it. So despite what's been told, this is something that just naturally occurs every year, naturally depending on how severe it is, how much you see of it. So that's how this came to be, or this issue came to light. Nothing prompted by the fiscal court, just in the normal flow of having the audits done. The 2014 audit for that department had some issues. To further clarify this, really, though it directs us to take this action, regardless of how any individual on our court felt toward that department or about what was in the audit, it really wasn't up to that. It wasn't subjective. I mean, it's clear cut. Per KRS 64820 states that the fiscal court shall collect any amount due the county from county officials as determined by the audit of the official conducted pursuant to KRS 43070 and KRS 64810. It can be collected without suit. In the event the fiscal court cannot collect the amount due the county from the county official without suit, the fiscal court shall then direct, and there's where it kind of takes our action. You know, it states that we have to direct, so therefore is the reason for the vote, the county attorney to institute suit for the collection of the amount reported by the auditor or certified public accountant to be due the county within 90 days of the date of receiving the auditor's or certified public accountant's report. In this instance, it was actually the state auditor's, and May 22nd was actually the 90-day window. So we did, you know, allowed as much time, and the individual was aware of it. So, you know, we tried to do as best we could. But unfortunately, like I said, regardless of what, it's a very unfortunate, I guess, to be in a position to have to do that for two reasons, that it's in the audit and that we're naturally none of us want to have to do this kind of thing. But it pretty much directs what we have to do to be compliant. And not that anybody won't make mistakes, but, you know, if we make mistake, we try to correct it. And naturally, when we're directed per statute and per the auditor's office, like I said, it would really, formally we had to go through the process, but it really was spelled out what our actions had to be. There's been instances, I'm not saying maybe this court at this time didn't take it, but at some point that court has to, and I would not want to pass it on, or you no need kicking the can down the road. I think we've allowed ample time, and it's up to us to always try to obey and do per statute. So that's how we got to here.
Well, Judge, I appreciate you giving us this rundown of the court meeting over the last 3 days, and I hope it's been as informative and been useful information for everybody out there who's listening. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. And as always, we'll try to bring these things to you after each meeting so that we can keep as as much information out there in the public as possible. Thanks again, Judge.
Thank you.